All right, Reality Daily, Wyatt coming at you, Amazing Race 36, Episode 5, and I am joined, as always, by the person that's navigating this whole podcast. It's Jeremy. Jeremy, how are you?
Whoa, Wyatt, I don't know about that one. We didn't hang out last week.
We didn't.
I'm not the navigator, I'm the driver, but I guess that's fair.
I will say I'm like Letitia with a map. Like, I'm not particularly the strongest, so I don't know if you necessarily want me to take the lead on that. But yeah, we weren't together last week. We had some scheduling conflicts. You did Survivor solo. I did the Amazing Race solo. Kind of just want to touch base with you on just some overall thoughts that you had last week on the episode.
You know, it was unfortunate because I really liked the previous episode, the one in Medellin. I really think that... the season's starting to take shape in a way, and it's not just the people just running around. I think it was a really good episode, and I thought this one was also a very strong episode as well. It wasn't super suspenseful, I would say, but it brought some good moments, and I'm sure we'll talk about all of those.
Yeah, I liked last episode, probably the best of the season, but I think this one comes in at a very close second. I think the race leg designs I didn't like in the first couple of episodes because I felt like they were too straightforward, and I guess that makes sense. You got 13 to 11 teams that you have to be able to film. You probably don't want to make it too intricate, but at the same time, I think that we're really getting into some really good legs, and it looks like next week we're going to have the mega leg where we're going to have double detours and double roadblocks, so really interested to see how that progresses. But let's hop into this episode. They're in Santiago, Chile, and they're going to have to find the Marilyn Monroe Thunderbird for the next clue. Now, Jeremy, are you a big car guy? Would you be able to pick a Thunderbird out of a lineup?
You know, I probably could, just by looking at it. But I couldn't be like, yeah, that's it. But I feel like the one where the clue guy was standing next to, I feel like I would say that one was a Thunderbird.
Yeah, that was kind of my premise, too, is like I probably know less about cars than 90% of the population. But I think I would just like once we got there, I would just be like, OK, there has to be either like a clue box or a person, like one or the other. And I think I would just because they wouldn't put it like in the middle, I don't think, unless it was a clue box there. So I do think that some teams maybe should have thought a little bit through that a little bit more. But we're still in our heats, which, you know, I can't stand that. But we're going to start with the first heat. It's Amber and Vinny and Ricky and Cesar, who came in second and first, respectively, last leg. Ricky and Cesar, they're going to want to stay in the front of the pack this leg. No fucking shit. And then Amber and Vinny, they're going to say that they're happy that they're in the front of the pack. But this episode, they want to work on being on the same page. I got to say, I think they accomplished that this episode. You know, I know they had some navigation issues and stuff, but, you know, it didn't seem like they were really fussing at each other as much as they had in previous episodes.
Yeah, you know, we saw the tension-filled episodes that they had the previous couple weeks. They obviously started off in the back of the pack. They made their way to the front of the pack. But this week, they're in the front of the pack, and they're trying to stay there. I think that they worked on their cohesion. You know, the thing is, there's a difference between running for first and running to stay in the race. And I think that when you're in Amber and Vinny's shoes, you can run to stay in the race more so than racing for first, even though they're in the front of the pack, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're first in Santiago, you got to be first in the final leg. And I think that you got to work on making sure you're in position to be in that, you know, because it comes down to one final leg. And I think the team with the best teamwork, the best problem solving skills are going to win. And the only way to really figure that out is by putting it in theory and practicing. And it's like the race, the legs up until the final are like practices for the final leg. So I think Amber and Vinny are preparing more for that than just micro tunnel vision getting first in Chile.
Yeah, and I think that's more of a Vinny thing that he's kind of had to come around about, because as I'm sure they would love to get a free trip somewhere in the world, it does seem that like when he was putting a little bit of pressure on Amber, and Amber was kind of, you know, balking back at that, it was really because of how fast they were running or whatever. It wasn't like, hey, hurry up and do this task or something like that. It was more about their in-between. And I just don't think that you're necessarily going to be banking on the first place just by running. I think that you just, like, let it come to you. And like you said, like, if the first place is going to come, it's going to come regardless of whether you're outrunning Ricky and Caesar to a certain clue box or not. And what's more important is that you do stay in the race. You know, we see Dan Angie this episode talking about, hey, we love that we had like a little bit of time where we were in first, and we hope that continues. But it seems like to them, like, you know, they're not going to cry about not being in first. And I think that's kind of where Amber and Vinny now are, where it's like, hey, let's just keep a steady pace and do our best. And hopefully we're able to make it to that final leg where first place does matter.
Exactly. I think it's about running your own race versus running the race. And mm-hmm. I think the teams that are running their own race are usually the ones that succeed more than those that are worried about the other teams. At the end of the day, you can only control what you can control. So teams that are adopting that mindset, I think, are tending to be more successful.
Yeah, and then we're going to get into our group two. That's Dean and Angie, Ron and Letitia, and Juan and Shane. And I got to get this out there. I'm sure it's something you were going to bring up later on anyway. Juan, rocking the UCF hat.
Go Knights, charge on.
Yeah, Jeremy's alma mater shows displays there. I thought that was really fun there. Then we found out that Danny actually went to school in Chile. I assume he didn't go to college there. I'm sure it was like an international exchange semester, whatever. What do they call it? Like going overseas or something? I never did it.
Foreign exchange.
Yeah, did you ever do that in college?
I did not. But I think it was in college because I do remember the, like, maybe in a future, maybe I'm getting it wrong, but I feel like Danny was homeschooled. I think he mentioned that. Did he mention that on the show, maybe?
I think he was homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I think he was homeschooled.
So it was probably a college experience.
Yeah, and then Danny, once again, is going to be helped by Amber and Vinny, who's going to point them in the right direction of the vehicle. Love how that alliance is coming along. But Rod and Letitia have different opinions on how they are motivated with each other. You know, Letitia says, you know, listen, he's an athlete and he's somebody that's like, you know, gotta win, gotta win, gotta win. And I'm just somebody who's been through so much adversity that I just want peace. Listen, girl, if you want peace, I hear you, but I don't know if the race is what you want because this is a competitive environment.
Yeah. I think Letitia signed up for the wrong show for doing that, but, or just reality TV in general. You know, reality TV, at the end of the day, it's not always about peace. In fact, 90% of the time it's not. So yeah, but I do think that, like, Letitia is like, it's important to note that not every team and not every racer has the desire to win $1 million. You know, they're doing it for the experience, or they're doing it for their partner. You know, we see that with Angie and Danny, like they're more experience driven to run the race. They're not exactly running for $1 million. You know, you could say the same for people like Kishori and Karishma, a lot of the teams that maybe were eliminated before this point in the race. So that is a factor, you know, it does, you know, I do think that maybe the desire of winning $1 million could come into play because it really, you know, will test like how much are you going to push for this. You know, sometimes $1 million is like the biggest motivational factor, but in other times, you know, doing it for your partner, something that isn't, you know, monetarily, you know, there isn't like a monetary value, that ends up being the biggest motivator, or just flat out winning. Like that to me would be my biggest motivator in running the race, is just doing my best and trying to win. Then it'll be cool to get the $1 million stipend at the end of it, but I'm just trying to win. And I just don't know if Letitia is built the same way, but the fact that she has Rod as her partner makes them as a team still one of the most competitive people, because Rod is probably the most competitive racer in the race, just given his background and what we've seen from him through 5 episodes.
a lot of similarities between them and Amber and Vinny, because, you know, I think that Vinny is somebody that's obviously very competitive as well and is like pushing his partner at all times. And Rod seems to be doing that as well. It's just different in terms of how Amber pushes back as opposed to how Letitia pushes back. Like, it's a little different how they communicate backwards. But I do think that both of their partners are kind of, I don't even know if you want to say they're in the wrong. Because, you know, it is a competition, so you do need to kind of be focused on first. But, you know, kind of the issue that both of them have, I do think there is some similarities there.
Definitely some parallels. But I think that at the end of the day, like, you do need some balance within your partners, right? Like, I don't think it's – I think teams that are too competitive, that could sometimes be a disadvantage. And having, like, a partner be able to scale you back when you need to – you know, their strengths there. Like, at the end of the day, teams just need to be able to find out what their strengths are and when to, you know, utilize their weaknesses. That's like, or when to, like, how to combat certain weaknesses. And, you know, teams that are hyper competitive can get lost in the moment. And sometimes in the race, you kind of just have to sit back, calm down, and think. And we saw that, you know, a couple of times so far in the race and even in this episode as well. You know, sometimes stopping and thinking is what pushes you. But if you're too hyper competitive as a team, you're just trying to push to the next location, that could be a problem. So I think any balance in any amazing race team is what's needed in order to succeed. And I think that the good teams this season all have that.
Yeah. And after Rod and Letitia are going to be able to find that car, they're actually going to work with Danny and Angie here to break down a map. Angie comes across a little frustrated. She's going to say in the confessional, it's because she feels like navigation is one of their strongest suits. So if you help a team doing that, you're basically taking away their advantage, where they're going to have a disadvantage in things that are physical because she's a little bit older. Now, my question to you, Jeremy, is we've seen this with Danny and Angie a couple times. You know, we've seen them work with, you know, Karishma and Kishore. We saw them work with Amber and Vinny, and now we're seeing them work with Rod and Letitia. Are they spreading themselves too thin? Are they helping too many teams? Or are these seeds, you know, going to be able to sprout later on? Because I can understand both perspectives here, and I'm not sure exactly where I land on who I agree with, though.
What team did you say?
Karishma and Kishore, Rod and Letitia, and Amber and Vinny were the ones that Danny and Angie were helping out.
Oh, yeah. You know, I feel like Danny is playing a long form game. You know, I think that, you know, obviously Angie feels like they're helping too many teams because she doesn't want every team to be helped by them and then everyone get kind of all square. And Danny is, you know, going to fall behind because they're helping everybody. But I don't think Danny, like, I feel like Danny is, you know, big, amazing race guy. Like, he knows, he's very strategic. And I think he's not going to put other teams in front of his own. But I think that he feels like there is enough wiggle room to be able to help these teams out still. There's still 9 teams in the leg that was in this episode. So there is wiggle room. And they were in the middle of the pack. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to help these teams out because you never know. Like, they might be willing to help you in return. We've seen Amber and Vinny return the favor a few times now. So if you offer that olive branch, you never know who may take it. Like, of course, teams may decline it, but they wouldn't offer it to you to begin with. And it's clear that there are some teams that probably aren't willing to help Angie and Danny, but Angie and Danny know where their allegiances lie. And I feel like there is still time in the race to be able to help teams. Now, when there's maybe 6 teams left, 5 teams left, and especially if there's like 4 or 3 teams left, don't help nobody. But I think now it's still early enough in the race to where helping these teams is still beneficial for Danny and Angie.
Yeah, I think they really hit a gold mine with Amber and Vinny because most teams would not stick their neck out multiple times. But like, I guess my issue with Rod and Letitia is very kind of results orientated, because I think we saw a couple of issues this episode where Rod and Letitia probably could have helped them if they wanted to, you know, could have helped them, you know, work on the skateboard. I think there was a part where he calls over Juan and, you know, he didn't call over Danny. There was a time where they both jumped over the fence, and they did, from what it seems, they didn't even offer if they wanted to help Angie over or something like that. You know, Rod's obviously strong enough. He could definitely give her a little boost. So I do think there were opportunities for them to be able to repay that, and they did it. So I'm hoping that Danny and Angie will take note of that, but I don't hate the move in helping out somebody. I just think that you shouldn't keep helping a team that's not going to be able to repay that. And Amber Vinnie certainly has. So I think that maybe they may be expecting other teams to be as generous as they have been. And you're just not going to find that in every team.
Well, I think something that is to note, you know, Angie and Danny at one point were in first place in this leg, right? And they were in first place, but they were tied with, I think when they got to the roadblock, if I'm not mistaken, with Rod, Letitia, and Juan and Shane. And they all left at the same time. I wonder if there was some help off camera or just not in the final edit where the three of them navigated, or if Rod and Letitia and Juan and Shane just tailed Angie and Danny because they trusted his directions. So I'm curious as to, you know, maybe if they feel like there is, like, if there's help there, or if Angie and Danny just feel like Rod and Letitia and Juan and Shane are mooching off of them, and therefore he's not willing to help them in other ways, like in the roadblock or in, you know, like getting to the Thunderbird, you know. So to me, like, I do think that there is more than meets the eye. There's always more than meets the eye in these shows because we only see a limited amount. But that's kind of what I picked on. Did you pick up on that as well, or what do you think there is there?
I definitely think that they were mooching because Danny and Angie kind of allude to that in the pit stop confessional. It seems like, you know, they helped Rod and Letitia on the map, and then Rod and Letitia followed them, and then Juan and Shane tailed Rod and Letitia. So that's why they ended up being kind of bunched up together. And I don't know. I think my assumption would be is that if you're basically tailing and following these people, that you would ask them, you know, do you need any help over this gate if you were actually open to working with this team? But I think we've seen that Rod and Letitia are a lot closer to Juan and Shane because they worked together last week in the roadblock than they were Danny and Angie. It seems like they were kind of like left. And maybe they did offer. I don't think so. I think they would have at least shown that if that was the case. Maybe Angie just didn't want to jump over the fence. But yeah, it does seem like they felt like they were being mooched off of. So hopefully they'll be a little bit more picky about who they're helping out. But I do think that if you're going to help out another team, you help out teams that are kind of neck and neck with you. You know, have Amber and Vinny in the front of the pack, but it doesn't hurt to get another team that's in the front of the pack. If you were in the bottom of the pack, then, you know, maybe you want to be a little bit more picky in terms of if you're going to actually help anybody or not. But let's move on to group three. We have Derek and Shalisa, Yvonne and Melissa, Sunny and Busy, and then Kishori and Karishma. All the teams are struggling to find the marked cars that they have to take to the museum. I guess this is showing why they're in last place, Jeremy.
I mean, definitely part of it. But, you know, I feel like when you all start the leg of the race together, it'd be silly to not, especially when you're the last group, it'd be silly to not work with the teams in the back to get at least to the car, because if you're like going away from the group in that and you get lost, then you automatically make yourself last place. So I feel like all of those teams had the right idea in working together to get to the car, but then after that, you know, obviously go your own way and try to figure things out. But yeah, it was not a good look for the four of those teams. And I would be surprised, Wyatt, if any of those four teams won the race. One of those teams didn't make it past this episode, but the three remaining teams, you know, I'd be surprised if any of those teams actually won the race.
I could really see Derek and Shalisa getting back there. I mean, they were in the front there. I think what really separates them is they are pretty solid at the physical stuff. And I think that they can do well in that capacity. And Sunny and Busy, I mentioned this last week, and I kind of feel even more strongly about it now. I think Sunny and Busy, like, they're so hit or miss. They're so hit or miss to the point that I would say there is just as good of a chance of them getting first place in a leg as last place, because I feel like it's like they're bad at navigation and everything, but then they get to a challenge and like, here's a new skill that we didn't know they had. You know, at first they were just firefighters that were mothers. Now they're like, you know, they're like airplane mechanics, they're, you know, landscape architects. And it's like, you got a bundle of tricks in your belt. And it's like, depending on what the challenge is, I think that they can crush the challenges. It's just the navigation that struggles with them. And I think, listen, you get a good navigation day, I think that they could easily be in first place. I think that if you get a bad navigation day and a challenge that you don't necessarily know very well, I think they could end up in the pack. But I still think Sunny and Busy are live to win. But I definitely think it's an uphill climb because I think they are. There's such high variance with them.
Yeah, they need to align with Angie and Danny. That's a team that they need to work with, because that would just give them, you know, that would, you know, kill their weakness, and then they could kill those challenges. But my question is, are they killing these challenges because they're good at the challenges, or the other teams are just bad at the challenges?
Seems to be that they're killing the challenge because they're good at them. Because we saw Karishma this episode is going to say, this team, they just show up and they just knock it out in a couple seconds and they go. And obviously it's a little hyperbole from her, but, you know, it seems like they really crushed that landscape architecture thing last week where they had to go and find the sculptures. Did really well with the skateboarding here. They're going to pass two of the teams, I believe. Maybe it was just Karishma that they passed, but they're going to make up a lot of ground in both of those. And I just feel like, look at the tasks that they've had so far. I don't know what task other than the Rebus puzzle that they really couldn't crush if they did again. So as long as they don't have like another puzzle, I kind of feel like they're going to be always live.
I mean, I want to see them race against the top teams. I'd be curious to see if the duration that they took during the roadblock was faster than, say, Juan and Shane, or Danny and Angie, or Vinny. Like, I don't think that Sunny and Busy are beating Vinny in a roadblock. Like, I just don't see it.
Yeah.
But maybe, I mean, if they get Amber on a roadblock, you know, I could see it. But they need, like, I guess out of those teams in the back, Sunny and Busy are probably the best team, but they got to get out of the back. And how are you going to do that? You're going to have to navigate well.
Yeah, and they did not navigate well this episode because they took forever to get to this roadblock, and that's where we will start talking about it now. It's at the skateboard park. It's the first time that we're actually going to see Ricky and Caesar. They're going to be bickering a little bit as they get to the park as they are navigating. And I guess that's what happens when you're driving the vehicle. You know, we really haven't seen them drive too much this race. We get the always hilarious, like, hey, this team can't drive stick, when we saw Karishma having some trouble, although it seems like she was able to get that under control. Glad that we're not just seeing the taxi drivers to take these people around the entire race.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I think that at this point in the race, there's just so much that can go on. So having as much in your control as possible is so important, because there's so much that's beyond your control. So if you're able to control what you can control, that's the only way you're going to be able to get forward.
Yeah, and then the roadblock clue is going to be who's ready to get bored. And we're going to see some teams not necessarily know exactly what this meant. You know, some thought that maybe it was skateboarding as opposed to making a skateboard. But we're going to see Danny, Rod, and Juan do it from the first group. And I have to say this again. I feel like a broken record. I have to question Danny's decision to do the roadblock again. I feel like now we are at 4-1, and we're going to get in a point where, like, Angie's going to be doing the roadblock when it is the most crunch time, when there's less slack in the pack. And I just feel like if you're in the front of the pack, this would be now the time to take the risk and have somebody like Angie do it. I'm not saying that Angie can't do roadblocks, but what I am saying is, as somebody that is, you know, a big fan of the race and Danny, somebody that's good in puzzles that we've talked about, you kind of want to leave him to take the mystery roadblocks. You know, you want to have him take the ones that's forced, not Angie. And I understand this one a little bit more than last week because, you know, last week, you know, I think you could argue that maybe it was ceramics, it was sculpture, maybe memory. But this week, I could see maybe it's like, okay, well, if it's skateboarding, I don't want my mom to be in there because I don't want her to have to, like, jump down a half pipe or whatever, if that turns out. But I am worried about the future of them, despite the fact that they are doing well, because I am worried about when it gets to the point where, like, Angie has to do roadblocks, you never know what that could be. It could be the dance challenge. It could be something that's super physical. And we've already seen her struggle with, you know, heat exhaustion at one point. I'm just worried for the future of them, Jeremy.
Yeah, you definitely want to have as much flexibility when choosing roadblocks as possible. And I think they have the biggest difference between the two in terms of roadblocks. I think everyone is within one or two roadblocks done. Kind of a three task difference. So that means that Angie's going to have to do some roadblocks coming up here. And, you know, they have two roadblocks on the next leg. So you'd imagine that Angie will probably have to do at least one, maybe even two of them for the next leg. Or maybe it's going to be one of those where if your partner doesn't do this one, you have to do it. So it Angie's like they're going to have to like they're going to put Angie in position later in the race that they may not be able to do so. But I honestly think that the adrenaline of being in first place and to stay in first place was important for Danny. So I think that also played into their decision. But I also think more along the lines of what you're saying, Wyatt, where, you know, I don't want my mom skateboarding and hurting herself.
Yeah. So I'm a little bit more like understanding this round, but last round, I really think that just from what you can see, because even though they don't tell you what the roadblock is, you do have some context clues of what's around you. And I feel like last round, you know, there were some statues. I think it's probably either something to do with art. You have to have to do some type of art. She's a teacher. I'm sure she would be able to knock that out, or it's some type of like memory. And maybe they just saw, hey, this is a big map, probably gonna be a lot of running. We don't want her to do it, but I just felt like you got to do it at some point, and I'd rather her do it when there's a lot more time difference between the back of the pack and the front, then, you know, when it's going to be a little bit tighter at the end. So I am really worried about them long term. I mean, it really reminds me of Annalie and Steve, where like Steve was good at certain things, but you don't want to leave him to the point where he has to now do like the river dance, right? So that's kind of my worry with them. But Rod and Juan, as I mentioned earlier, they're going to jump the fence where Danny and Angie, they're going to struggle to find the entrance. They're actually going to help Ricky and Caesar heal to find the entrance. Doesn't seem like it's a massive deal or anything like that, but at least Ricky and Caesar know that somebody is helping them. Danny is going to have his super fan Ida show again when he's going to say, listen, I know that the wheels are going to be different colors. They wouldn't give us, you know, different color wheels if they didn't mean anything. So he's going to notice that, and he's going to get it done first. Listen. He's really good at the race. I don't deny that. I'm just worried for him. And as somebody who I mentioned before, I have a soft spot for this team. I just hope that they're able to continue on. Then Caesar, he's going to do it for his team and is feeling the pressure of competing with the other teams. He's going to get it done on the first try, though, and is going to end up beating Rod when they leave in third. Ricky and Caesar, I mean, this was the first time they really felt the pressure, Jeremy, because have been basically ahead of the pack the entire time. And I think for them to be able to not only come out of this roadblock good, but come out of this leg in first, I think that really starts to, you know, almost pencil them in to the final leg if you hadn't already.
But Ricky and Cesar were in fir they were in fourth, and I think that's the lowest they've been the whole race through five legs, which is remarkable. It's up there with some of the greatest track records in amazing race history. But they weren't even in fourth by a whole lot. Like they got to the Thunderbird first, and they got lost, and so that's why they didn't get like too lost. Like they took one wrong turn, and that ended up getting Danny and Angie, Rod and Letitia, and Juan and Shane there just a couple, like just probably a minute or two before them, you know. And yeah, they leave the roadblock in fourth, but they are able to do the detour, you know, really quickly. Like they are really good under pressure, and maybe it's just the fact that they don't feel a lot of pressure. And who knows whether this was actually pressure filled for them. You know, they've had the luxury of like not having to race for last, and so we really haven't seen them do much, like do a whole lot under real pressure. I think like Cesar said, like it's the first time he had done a roadblock with other teams there, and so because I think when he did the last roadblock in I think it was in Colombia with the coffee beans. They were in first by a wide margin, and they got done before anyone even got there. So, you know, they also just are probably just really good racers. They're just good at what the race has, you know, laid out for them so far. And I think the fact that they are in, you know, Latin America and Cesar being, you know, a native speaker, like I do think that that helps them a ton with directions and, you know, like the task they did for the detour. So I do think that that helps them a little bit. I don't think it's worth an asterisk, though. I don't think that is like, oh, it's, you know, it's not fair that he's there. Like, I'm sure, you know, like Juan mentioned that he had, you know, Colombian roots in Colombia, and, you know, he said, oh, he makes the food all the time at home. So like other teams do have this benefit. But with Cesar, I think it's just been a little bit more shown in the edit. So yeah, I think that Ricky and Cesar are probably still the team to beat, I would say, in the whole race. Like, I would take them over anybody else. They probably have the highest amount of winner equity among the 8 teams that are still here beyond this episode. So they just are really good at the race, and it's shown every leg so far.
Yeah, I was just impressed by it, because I feel like there's a lot of teams that we see that are good racers in terms of doing the task and doing the navigation, but when they get to a position where they worry about their position, whether that's in the front of the pack or even just having competition in the front, they just melt. They're just not cut out for it mentally, and I feel like we didn't see that with them, and I feel like that just speaks volumes of them, especially as we get into, you know, the later legs where it is going to be a little bit more action packed. So, well, yeah, I don't think I would say Ricky and Cesar against the field yet, but I would say that we are getting close to that, because they are just showing, I mean, they're not struggling with anything yet. I don't know anything that they have really even taken more than
they haven't faced any adversity.
Yeah, exactly. And I just don't know if they will. I'd be very interested to see how it goes. Although if they're going to face any adversity, the mega leg is probably where it's going to be, right? Because you're going to have 4 challenges, 4 opportunities to struggle at something. So we'll see. I think we'll find out a little bit more about them next week. Rod is going to help Juan on how to put the truck on. This is what I mentioned earlier, that, you know, he didn't call Danny over there. He called Juan over there, and Juan was very grateful for that. So I just felt like, you know, if Ron wanted to work with Danny, this would have been his opportunity. Rod's first check is going to be incorrect because the truck pieces are wrong. But then, unfortunately, Jeremy, Rod can't find his nut.
He could not find his nut.
I loved it. And I loved the Angie and Danny confessional too, where like Angie was the one that has the dirty mind because she's the middle school teacher. And almost comes across that like Danny is so innocent, like he didn't even think about it in that capacity. And he got like almost embarrassed when his mom brought it up. But that was hilarious. I probably would have been a little bit more you know, I probably would have antagonized Rod a little bit if I won the race with him. I'd probably be like, how'd you get all those kids if you only got one nut? Like, you know, like things like that. But my thing about Rod is this, is like, if you drop your nut on the ground, why was he all the way in Danny's station looking for it? Why are you not on your hands and knees immediately? Like, this is a game for $1 million. Like, I just feel like I would be on the ground.
I think he thought it blew away. I think that's what, like, that's why he was over there. And also, like, when you're in the race, you know, you're panicking, especially when you're not in first and you're trying to get to first, and you're not necessarily thinking in the most like succinct way. So, but that's something I've said earlier in the episode, you know, sometimes the teams that succeed the most in the race are the ones that stop, take a breath, realize what they're doing, and plan out their next step before doing it. And so I feel like Rod lacked that skill in this particular moment. But it's something that I don't think they're incapable of doing. I think, but this is a moment that can teach them, you know, hey, maybe going 100 miles an hour every time is not working. Cause we saw, I think this is the worst finish they've had in a leg so far, 5th place. You know, so I think that they're going to have to maybe alter their strategy a little bit in order to get back up to the top 3.
Yeah, I just felt like, listen, I understand if you're working at home and you're trying to build like a birdhouse or some shit and you drop a nail, then yeah, you're probably just going to look around kind of like lackadaisical. But if you're in the race for $1 million, I feel like I'm getting on the ground, I'm getting dirty, like I'm pushing stuff aside, like going through the grass, making sure. I just feel like that would be my initial, you know, thing, as opposed to just like doing like these wide circles that he seemed to be doing. But he is going to go ahead and find it, and they're going to leave in 4th. Juan, on the other hand, you know, I mentioned that he had some issues with the truck at first, but it turns out that he had the wheels wrong, something that Danny had pointed out. He got it wrong twice, and on the third time he fixes it. But Jeremy, he didn't even know that was the problem. He said it like he didn't realize that that was the issue. He just took a wild guess, and it turned out paying off.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, hey, wild guesses are correct, and it works out that way. Obviously, you want to, you know, have as much like consistency or, you know, as much likelihood of it, you being right. But sometimes those wild guesses, those crapshoots end up working for you.
I'm shocked that nobody just like ran over to the boy and was like, hey, get off that board. Like, I would have knocked him to the ground. Like, I was like, I need to see this example. Stop skating. Because I probably would have been like, okay, like the wheels would go here and this is how the truck goes on. Because we've seen people make mistakes that I think are understandable if you're doing it blind. But if you have an example that that guy is riding, I think I would be like, hey, can you hop off this board so I can look at it?
Yeah. I think that, I wonder how long it actually took them to build it. Like, cause it didn't seem like it was super difficult, but maybe it could have been if you're not like super detail oriented.
Yeah, I would say for most people, it probably took between 15 to 20 minutes. And then if you got something wrong, it probably took you another 5 minutes before you did another check. I would say in the case of like Karishma, it may have been like an hour. But I think for the average team, it probably was like 15 or 20 minutes. Some of those longer teams might have been, you know, 30 or so. But that would be my guess, is it'll probably take you 15, 20 minutes and then you get the check. And then if it's wrong, then, you know, it may take you 5 or 10 minutes to be able to fix whatever you think is wrong with it. But
yeah.
Then we have Vinny. He's going to do the roadblock for his team. And Danny is going to, who's still there at the time that he gets there, is going to run over and say, hey, make sure you're double checking those wheels. And Vinny is going to get right on the first try. I think he probably would have gotten it right on the first try regardless. I think he probably would have known the attention to detail, especially with his medical background. But certainly very helpful for Danny to be able to help him in any way he can. You know, in these type of things where when you see that Vinny and Amber have been giving. It is great that Danny had an opportunity here to be able to reciprocate that. That way it kind of keeps Vinny and Amber a little bit on the hook as somebody that's going to continue to help them.
Yeah. You know, Vinny, like, honestly, like, what alliance do you think is stronger? Vinny and Amber and Angie and Danny, or Rod, Letitia, Juan, and Shane?
I really think it's Vinny and Amber, Danny and Angie, because I think that not only does Vinny and Amber probably not honestly think that Danny and Angie are that competitive. Like, think about it. Like, if you're going to the end in the final leg with Danny and Angie, you got to feel okay. Even though he's good at puzzles, you have to feel like, okay, like, we can beat these people in something physical. Like, we can beat these people in a foot race. But they probably feel like, hey, like, there's no time where we have to turn on these people. We can just help each other to the end. Where, like, with Rod and Letitia and Juan and Shane, they're probably going to see each other as threats at some point, and then that's when it's going to break up. I think that's more of an alliance of convenience at this point, where I feel like there's actually a bond between Amber and Vinny and Dean and Angie that may even surpass the actual game.
Yeah, I think that, but I mean, that's not to say that Juan and Shane and Rod and Letitia's like bond doesn't, you know, surpass like the game either, but at the same time, I think that, like, I honestly think that the Juan, Shane, Rod, Letitia alliance is stronger. I just feel like that they are more likely to succeed in a challenge than that other group. Now, Amber and Vinny, if you take them, like, I honestly think there's a world where the final three is Amber and Vinny, Juan and Shane, and Rod and Letitia. And in that, I would honestly probably take Juan and Shane over Amber and Vinny. But to me, like, those two teams are a toss-up. Ricky and Cesar are also probably in that group as well. I honestly would say that's probably the final four. And then maybe Angie and Danny are, like, fifth. Or maybe even, like, Sunny and Busy, maybe, like, the fifth team. But if you were to, like, put yourself in that group, like, I would think that the Juan, Shane, Rod, Letitia group is probably more likely to win a leg than the other pair.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably right if that's how you're comparing it. I'm comparing it in terms of, like, what team's going to help each other the most. And I think with like, Rod and Juan, we've seen them help each other, but only when they were there at the same point. They're at the roadblock last week together, the roadblock together this week, they're running to the pit stop together. But like Vinny and Amber and Danny and Angie, they're going out of their way, where we see, you know, Amber finish the roadblock last week and basically tell Danny and Angie exactly where to go. They get the clue from the car this week and they're telling them exactly where to go. So it's more about like, we're not like, it seems like what Rod and Juan are doing is like mutual, where it's like, hey, this mutually benefits us right now. Where it seems like what Danny and Angie and Amber Vinnie are doing is like, hey, we're taking a step back and we're giving you a push, even though we're not on the same, like, I'm above you right now in the race, I'm ahead of you, but I'm going to give you a push. Where Rod and Juan are like neck and neck. And I think that if Rod was like, you know, there got done with the skateboard first, I don't know if he would help Juan. You know what I mean? That's kind of where I'm I'm questioning.
Yeah, maybe.
And then we have Melissa and Yvonne. Melissa's going to be able to do this for the team. And despite her being in the NCIS, she said she doesn't know how to build furniture.
Hey, does NCIS stand for being able to build furniture?
Yeah, I just feel like, listen, like, you got to be in the top, like, 1% of 1% of, like, intellectual beings to be able to do this. So I just feel like even if you don't build, it would just come naturally to you because you have to look at things so critically. So I was shocked when she was like worried about this and why she was nervous. Cause I'm just like, you should be like Superwoman. Like, this should be something that you like, you shouldn't be afraid of anything because you're like so high intellectually, you know, in your field that, you know, nothing really should faze you, especially something like that is like essentially a puzzle. Like, well, you do have to think critically when you're putting stuff together like this.
Yeah. I think that every team has their strengths and weaknesses. There is no like one, like the Amazing Race would not cast somebody that is good at everything. Nobody can be good at everything. So, and that's what's so great about the roadblocks. And it did trip up a lot of teams here. I feel that the roadblock clue wasn't quite exactly what the task actually was. Like, I think Kishori and Karishma also got tripped up because they thought it was a skateboarding task, but it turned out to be a building task, you know? So those roadblock clues can be a little tricky, and but it's like that by design. And sometimes you got to play the game with it, and you got to, you know, try to outsmart the clue. And then other times you just don't. And that seems to happen here for Yvonne and Melissa.
Yeah, and she's going to put it on the trucks wrong the first time, but she's going to be able to get that on the second attempt. Derek, who's doing it for the oldies, he's going to do the exact same thing. He's going to have some trucks face the wrong way, but he's finally going to get it. But I love the banter between Derek and Shalisa. It's always, like, my favorite part of the episode. And I loved when he was like, Shalisa, you ready to go? And she was like, I've been ready!
They're on the Amazing Race. I've been ready, too. So, it does seem like that second group did not have really anybody that was kind of built for that particular roadblock. Obviously, Busy was, but that's just because that team is just, they're just in there, and then in a second, they're gone. But it did seem like they had the worst person possible to do that roadblock for each of those three teams. I think if their partners had done it, maybe they'd gotten it done a little bit quicker.
Yeah, and then we're going to get Karishma. Once again, is going to do a roadblock she didn't want because she thought it was skateboarding, and Kishori is going to be the one that's able to build stuff. So unfortunate for them. Takes her a long time. Mainly, it seems like she's having an issue getting the screws out. Eventually, she is going to get it, and unfortunately, will be in dead last. Sunny and Busy, they finally get there. I think when they get there, I believe Derek and Shalisa are also still there. And on the first check, they're going to misplace a couple of pieces on the truck. I'm not exactly sure what those names would be, but they are going to get it on the second attempt. All right, well, let's hop into the detour. This detour was Perform for Pesos or Climb for Clues. Perform for Pesos requires one person to learn a drum routine while the other has to shake a maraca and then beg for money once they get, I believe it was 2,500 to Chilean pesos. They get 4, to complete 000, it. 4,000?
I think so.
Goodness gracious. And then the other one, Climb for Clues, they had to get both team members to climb 6 stories on a rock wall. Jeremy, which one would you do if you were on the race?
It was 2,500 pesos. My apologies. I don't know why I thought 4,000, but I am doing Perform for Pesos in this one. It seemed like it was closer to where the roadblock was, and it didn't seem like a super hard task. Like this, like there wasn't a catch to it. And there wasn't a catch to the climbing detour either. It was kind of just a pretty straightforward task. There was no like, oh, this one's definitely going to take you long. Like, because at the end of the day, I mean, maybe the climbing one is a better one because it's less out of your control. But also, am I going to be able to climb six stories? Like, probably, but
yeah.
I would think if the Pesos one was quicker, like, I feel like I can do it.
I do not believe I could climb up the thing, because even, like, I consider, like, rock walls to be, like, twofold. You have the ones that you see, like, at the fair, which are, like, all the rocks are the same size, they're not that far apart, you know, they're made for children to be able to climb up it with no problem, right? So they're made for adults. Then you have this type of rock wall, but this is a little bit more for people that are actual, like, climbers that go to a climbing gym. Now, some of these are built for speed, some are built for more upper body, like, if you're bouldering and things like this, but, like, this one, to me, I just don't believe I could get up it personally as somebody that doesn't have a ton of upper body strength, especially after my injury. I think I'd be cooked. With that being said, performing for Pesos, Jeremy, I don't know if there's one thing on The Amazing Race that I would be better at than this. Like, I would be so good. And listen, you've watched all the seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race. You know how to perform, right? You've seen people lip sync for their life. And I feel like, listen, if you're shaking that maraca, I think you could probably perform.
Thank you, Wyatt, for your faith in me. I appreciate it.
Let me tell you, I'd be shaking ass. I may cause an international incident with what I would do, because especially if I'm looking like Rod, I'd be taking my shirt off and everything. Now, what I may do, Jeremy, is I may tell people either donate me money or I will take my shirt off, and maybe that will get me the pesos quicker.
Don't get into an international incident, because we will incur a 30-minute penalty at the pit stop. So
definitely. But for performing for pesos, Danny, he's, you know, going to decide to do this. And he's a little bummed because he does like climbing, but obviously Angie doesn't feel very confident in her ability. So they are going to do perform for pesos. And despite being good at navigation, that's kind of the story of this episode, Ricky and Cesar, who leave the detour, excuse me, the roadblock after them, are going to make it to this first. And they're going to crush it, and they're going to leave. Dan and Angie, they are going to get there, and they're going to crush it as well. Not a whole lot of hangups here, but until we get to Rod and Letitia. Now, first and foremost, I have to address that they are having some navigation issues, and I do love Letitia's response when they get pulled over. She was like, listen, you can't even figure it out when we're standing still. How do you think I'm supposed to do it in a car? I thought she had a great. I love that. I think she's so smart. But one thing I didn't like from her, and I kind of like, I call a little bullshit on it. It's in the confessional. She says, you know, Rod was used to these yes women that she's used to. And, you know, I come from humble beginnings, so I'm not easily impressed. But Jeremy, if you come from humble beginnings, wouldn't you be the easy one to impress because you come from, like, not a whole lot? Like, wouldn't, like, anything be interesting to you? Wouldn't it be somebody that has the silver spoon in their mouth be the person that is the, you know, not as impressed because they've had it, they've seen it all before?
I mean, maybe. I think it's a case by case basis, to be honest with you. I think but in this case, I would say no.
Yeah, I just feel like if she says, hey, I'm from humble beginnings, I'd be like, okay, but then you really should have been impressed by his, you know, physique and NFL status and everything, because you've probably never seen nothing like that before. So I thought that was kind of odd that they say this. But they finally are going to arrive, and the civil court isn't long enough for Rod's big ass, so they have to go and get it fixed and extend it. But Letitia, she is so bad at, like, doing the money thing. She's like, she isn't begging. It's just a passive. She's got no urgency. And I really think that, Jeremy, she was just too prideful.
Yeah, maybe that. It does feel weird to ask people for money when you're, you know, when you're an NFL wife. So maybe there is that, but also you shouldn't think of it as money. Think of it as, you know, some, you need the next clue, like, give me my clue.
Yeah. That's kind of what I think. And I understand, like, there probably would be some ethical issues with this type of challenge if I was there too. Probably would feel bad if somebody's giving me money that they may necessarily need. And they're just kind of like, you know, doing it to be nice and everything, but they could actually use it. I would feel kind of bad, but I also would feel okay, because I do think that money is probably going to go to charity, you know, in some stance, like at the end. I don't think the producers are pocketing it or anything.
I always wondered what they did with money that, like, was incurred on a task. Like, do they give it back to the community? Do they donate it? Like, does it help their own expenses? Like, I've always wondered that, but I do think it goes back to the community in some way.
It's possible that they, like, try to track down those people and, like, try to give it back to them. Like, I think that's possible too. especially if they're close by. Because some of those guys, they just look like kind of like plants almost when they were like.
Well, I don't think so because like you can't just be like, oh, hey, give us your money and we'll give it to you right back. Like, because that's not the task. That's not the challenge.
Yeah. I guess. But I think that once they get the money, they may just say, hey, let's disperse it back. But I do think they probably do end up giving it to some type of local charity or something. I was just so frustrated with her in this moment because I do feel like, hey, like put your best foot forward, you know, in every situation. And she wasn't doing that. I did like that Rod was like, listen, you got them hips and stuff. You could have been really getting it. And she was like, well, technically, you got the same thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can just, interest these women as well. So Rod's going to do really well. And they're going to be able to get it. All the other teams are going to do the climb for clues. Juan and Shane, Amber and Vinny, they're both going to arrive at the same time. Both are going to crush it. I mean, Amber struggles a little bit, but she's going to be able to get it. Vinny is going to knock it out, but she is going to come right after them, and they're both going to get it done. Melissa and Yvonne, they're going to do it and crush it. But the bottom three teams, the grandparents, the firefighter, and the cousin, they're all going to choose to do this. And I gotta say, I was surprised at the grandparents. I keep forgetting that they are in great shape despite being police officers. But Karishma and Kishora, I feel like that Karishma especially is like built for the beg for pesos challenge because she's so energetic. I think that she would have been really good at that.
I agree. I think they chose the wrong detour there. And that is, you know, we've seen how choosing the wrong detour has been the demise for a lot of teams. You know, I think Yvonne and Melissa were talking about how something they wanted to work on was choosing the right detour. I think they chose the right detour for them today, but Kishore and Karishma, I disagree. I don't think they chose the right one.
I'm not sure if it would have changed anything. You know, I think they probably would have still ended up in last place, but I definitely think they would have maybe got there a little closer to being their win. But I guess there is a positive where Kishore, you know, she was afraid of heights, but she is going to conquer that fear, which I guess if you're going to leave the race, at least conquering a fear is something that you can kind of put another feather in your cap.
Absolutely.
But then we get to the pit stop, and Ricky and Cesar once again are going to be in first place, and they're going to win a trip to Singapore, 5-night trip, the one Expedia Cash can be used for dinner, snorkeling adventures, and gardens by the bay trip. Listen, South Africa, Singapore, and $2,500 each. I'd say it's a pretty good haul so far.
Ricky and Cesar, they might have enough money and prizes worth more than $1 million if they can keep winning each leg of the race.
I like how Phil tries to like bully them into like getting second place. He's like, oh, you know, don't you want to give some of these other teams? They're like, no, no, of course not. So I do love that from them. Juan and Shane, Amber and Vinny, Danny and Angie, and Ryan and Letitia, they're going to get second through fifth. You know, kind of what we've seen this entire episode, front of the pack, back of the pack, and they're all going to come together. I do like that Phil was really trying to get out of Rod that the Amazing Race is better than a Super Bowl, which I say horseshit.
I mean, look. At the end of the day, like Rod has not been in the NFL, you know, for a while. Like he was in the early 2000s was when he was in the NFL. He played 7 years in the NFL. So he's been out of, you know, competing on a level like this, you know, assuming he hasn't done anything on the same level as the Amazing Race in, you know, 15 years. So to have this moment and on top of that with his wife. Now that's a pretty big that's a pretty big scale, and I think that it didn't surprise me when he said that, honestly, because this is like when you're in the NFL, plus also he was never on any teams in the NFL. I don't even think he's played in a playoff game.
I guess that would be my thing. It's like if you win, if you're a playoff like ring holder, even if you're like the long snapper, like your career is probably going to extend past $1 million, right? Like, I feel like if you are the Super Bowl winning long snapper, you're probably going to get at least like a year or two added onto your career, which will equate to over $1 million.
Maybe like that's a very loaded question. But okay.
And he won't no damn long snapper neither.
Yeah. I'm looking it up now. It looked like Rod was on the 2006 Chiefs, and they were in the playoffs, but it doesn't seem like he was on the final roster. So that would have been, maybe a practice squad guy or something. But I digress. At the end of the day, being on The Amazing Race, if you were on The Amazing Race, Wyatt, it would be the biggest competition of your life as well.
Yeah, but I didn't play the NFL.
Yeah, but I mean,
I got benched playing Pop Warner. Like, this is not comparable.
Listen, I'm just saying, like, that's not for me to say.
Yeah. But then we get Yvonne and Melissa, who is team irrelevant. I mean, they are so irrelevant. We barely get any confessionals from them. And I really thought they were going to be an exciting team at the beginning, because it seemed like Phil was alluding to them potentially having some arguments on the race. But they're going to get sixth place. But Phil was going to fake them out in the same way he did Derek and Shalisa last year, or last season, last episode. Damn it.
Yeah. Derek and Shalisa, they're cutting it close. But I will say, things are starting to look up for them, I'd say.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe we'll get more TV time from them when we get down to some lower teams. Sunny and Busy make it, and unfortunately, I'm sad, because I know that with Sunny and Busy, with all due respect to them, similar to Melissa and Yvonne, I didn't need them to be on the race anymore. You know, I liked the grandparents a lot. I like Karishma and Kishori a lot, and I was just bummed that we were going to lose one of them.
Yeah, but honestly, as soon as we saw Kishori and Karishma early in the race not being able to monitor that stick shift, I was like, oh, they're going home.
Yeah, like, they talked about her parents a lot, and it just came across as like, this is probably going to be their swan song.
Mm-hmm. I got, like, maybe that editing hint, but, you know, I mean, that wasn't what did them in. You know, they had a chance, you know. They weren't in last going into that roadblock. I wonder if, you know, maybe Kishori did the roadblock if they would have not been in last in this leg. And maybe there would have been, because Kishori mentioned how, you know, she's really good at building furniture and all that. And she thinks that maybe she would have been the better pick for that particular roadblock. And then maybe they choose the detour that helps them. And, you know, maybe they survive. But it did seem like the editing was trying to give us a hint there that it was Kishori and Karishma heading on home.
Yeah, and unfortunately they are going to be last, but I gotta say, the grandparents coming in and thinking that they're last, and then being told they're not, and then having Shalissa saying fuck in front of that like 10-year-old boy, to me is hilarious.
I mean, look, when you're running the race and you're told you can still run another leg, you ain't thinking about whoever's around you. You're thinking about you.
Yep. And next week, as I mentioned, Mega Leg, two detours, two roadblocks in Argentina. Looks like they're going to be doing some roping. I think I saw like Yvonne. She was like on this like fake horse, and she was trying to do the lasso on somebody. Then there was some cycling that people were doing, some like e-cycling. There was some butchering. It looks like that was being done, drifting in a car. It looks like the Angie may get a little bit of heat exhaustion during that. And then bubble soccer, which is always fun to watch. I love to watch that on Buddy Games. But Jeremy, anything else you want to say about the episode?
Good episode. I am wondering how the Mega Leg is going to look next week. But we're starting to get to a point to where things are getting pretty nitty and gritty, I'd say. They did announce that the finale is going to be on May 15th. So we're looking at about a month out from that. So we're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 episodes left. Now there may be I'd be surprised if there was a 2-hour episode in any of those weeks, just because Survivor is the first hour and a half before that. So if we look through that, you know, there's an elimination next week. We get down to 7. Then down to 6, then down to 5, then down to 4. Maybe 4 teams are racing in the finale.
Yeah, I could see like maybe go from 4 to 3. I could also see maybe a double elimination in some capacity. You know, listen to Megaleg next week. You know, two detours, two roadblocks. Maybe there's going to be two eliminations. I don't know.
That would be crazy. That would be crazy.
I'm trying to think of how they could do it. But I do think they probably will get four on the finale based on what's going on. But yeah, you're right. I don't think they'll do a two-hour episode because they can't really with Survivor. I can't imagine Survivor will drop down to an hour at any point, right? And they're not going to go into the local news at 11. So I don't exactly know how else they will be able to do that. But it will be fun to see. So make sure that you are listening to us. Me and Jeremy, we also covered Survivor. And Naveed joined Jeremy to cover the first two episodes of The Challenge All-Stars, which is available on Paramount+. First two episodes out right now. Also, I mean, me and Jeremy are just talking about whatever interests us. So let us know if there's anything else that you are interested in us covering, and we may just cover it. You can follow us on our social media pages at RealityDailyPod, P-O-D. And that is on every social media out there. And feel free to give us a comment, rate us 5 stars. Shout out to the person on iTunes that said that we were so terrible, they didn't know where to start. Certainly appreciate anybody for leaving a comment. All right, until next time. Bye.